off.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM. The eye.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And it's that time of the evening, that time of the air evening where we discuss about business and economic affairs. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM Namibia. Wherever you are, we are greeting you. It's a Friday of the 14th of November 2025, and we are progressing at an understandable pace toward the end of the year. That is why we are always indicating to you that you must be very happy. You must be able to look back and look at things that we have accomplished and also things that you went through. Even the fact that you are still standing, you are still listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is an achievement. And I'm always indicating to people to say, do not give up yet, or it's not necessary to give up. Especially when you look at the end of the year, some people, when they look back, we were saying, you know, 2025 was going to be my year, but it's already now coming to an end. What have I done? What are some of the things which I have done? But what is very important, what is necessary, is that the fact that you are still here, the fact that you can still listen to Eagle FM Namibia, that can also be an achievement, because some people of your age are in a hospital. Some did not even make it. Because that is also an achievement. And remember, for you to win the game, most of the Baradors, for those of you who watch football, most of the Champions Leagues, they are won on extra times, because you are not defeated until the bell rings. So that's why, let us not only...
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
The bell rings. So that's why, let us not only our plan end in December, but the plan shall be so far, long-term thinking, and also foresighted, our plans, particularly when it's coming to national development and also the involvement of human beings in national development. I understand most of you are preparing to go and vote on the 26th of November 2025, particularly when you look at local and regional authority elections. Go and vote. Do not just complain. Let us not just speak, but let's hold accountable those who we gave an opportunity to represent us on behalf of our constituency, and indeed on behalf of our local authority. So, yeah, it's quite very important also to look around, see what is happening. This is happening especially in the context of development. It was stated that the richest man in Africa, that is Aliko Dangote, the richest man not only in Nigeria, but the richest black man in Africa, Aliko Dangote, has signed an agreement with the Republic of Zimbabwe in order to build closer to 2,000 kilometer pipe from Walvis Bay going via Botswana, then to Zimbabwe, especially when it comes to issues of transportation of oil. issues of transportation of oil, because if you look, for example, at Arikon Dangote, he's one of the well-known men. It's a household name, particularly in the context of Africa, when you speak about business, when you speak about the business of oil, because he's known to have one of the biggest oil refinery in Africa. And he's selling and purifying oil, not only for consumption of Africans, but also for consumption of, you know, the world, because his business is also in the United States and many other, which is quite a very positive development. You know, and it's also one of the things that need to be looked at, particularly when you look at how Zimbabwe is playing, her game, because when you are observing the development, especially when it comes to Zimbabwe, when you look at the IMF prediction of 6%, you know, economic growth in Zimbabwe in the end of 2025, then you also be able to see the economic reform. Although there are things that we can still criticize about Zimbabwe, you must head off, especially when it's coming to attracting investment confidence. If you attract investor confidence, then you are one of the people that, you know, or you're one of the people or states or the country that can industrialize, can develop, because I'm always telling people to say, if somebody like Arikon Dangote visit your country, he cannot just come for leisure. He cannot just come and see the scenery or come and, you know, rest, because to him, everything is business, everything is development, and everything is head on. That's why you'll be able also to recall that he was in Namibia, and he's already planning to build one of the biggest oil storage facility, and how beautiful it's going to be, especially when you look at Namibia, and also when you look at, you know, oil discovery in Namibia, development of, you know, refinery projects in Angola. And you also be able to see maybe the future collaboration between oil, you know, producing countries, and change the whole game. So that is one of the news which is, you know, happening and also trending, especially when it's coming to economic affairs. The other thing is also, you know, it was stated that there are people who, especially from Southern Africa and also other part of Africa, who are involved in Russia and Ukraine war. There are people who are recruited as mercenaries. If you know your cousin who get an invitation to go and work somewhere, either in Canada, Europe, you must check with him or her very well, because at the end of the day, if you are not analyzing what is really happening, you end up finding yourself at a war zone and at the promise of 18,000 US dollars, which is like you are signing for a death sentence, because if you are an African, you are fighting in a zone of Ukraine. There people are using drones and technically advanced weapons, and you with your AK-47 training, you will not be able to navigate through. That's why government of Kenya and South Africa, they are also cautioning and also try to bring some of their people back, especially those who find themselves in a mercenary back the war, and which is quite very dangerous. So G20 is under the corner, or is around the corner, to say G20 is around the corner, where you also be able to see global superpowers, especially in terms of the economy, coming together and also discuss about the future of global economy, trade and investment. And at the center of that is financial institution, is, you know, reform of international financial institutions. And also at the center of that issues are the issues of climate change, and also how to develop infrastructure, especially in the 21st century. It's happening in South Africa. All the preparation meetings are on track. And when you look at it, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of arrangement, because it's happening in 1 week time. And it's only a matter of, you know, those who have, you know, who are invited, or those who are member of G20 countries, and also a representative from two economic bodies, such as African Union and the European Union, who come and also be part of that conference, and also ask questions to say, when it comes to G20, what is the direct role of Namibia? Are we also going to be part of G20 summit as neighbors just to observe? Even if you send the Minister of Finance or International Affairs just to observe how things are being done, or there are opportunities that are needed, particularly to the neighboring countries. And also, what businesses Namibians can offer, especially when there are global events such as the G20, and also what are some of the technical services that we can give, because we are very close to South Africa, but what do we have that we can assist South Africa? Can we send an event manager? Do we have experienced event managers who can manage international conferences such as United Nations General Assembly? Do we have expert maybe in security, in protocols, at least when there is a wedding in the neighbor's house? You don't need to be invited. You need to make sure that you go there, because it's part of an African philosophy to say, when the neighbor is faced by problems, you need to make sure that you are there. When the neighbor has a wedding, you don't need to be invited, because it's indeed the wedding of, is your wedding, because that time a neighbor is one of the very important person that you can rely on, to particularly in times of trouble, and also collaborate and enjoy in times of happiness. So it's quite a very big move and a big role of South Africa, especially when it's coming to G20. But there are already questions, especially to say who is going to be present, especially when it comes to development of or unfolding of the G20 summit. And as you know, that the president of United States of America, that is Donald Trump, stated that he is not coming due to unsolved diplomatic tensions between the US and South Africa, and also the aspect of alleged white genocide happening in South Africa, according to the view and the perspective of the current US administration. And it's also something that need to be looked at. And there was a communication to say he's sending the vice president, but let's see and how the developments are going to turn out. Yeah, we are progressing, and at G20, it's also quite very important also to see how the development are going to turn out, and also how many of head of states are going to come. Is Vladimir Putin coming? Is Chairman Mao Zedong coming? And other leaders also coming to this important summit in South Africa, and look at the developments, particularly in that part of, part of economic affairs. So the conversation for today we are going to speak about the informal economy, we are going to speak about the informal market, and we're also going to speak about what are the mechanisms in place to make sure that we uplift our informal economy. Do we have plans in place, especially when it comes to uplifting and upgrading of the informal market, and also to make sure that the informal sector is well handled? Because these days we have been speaking so much about the report, the diagnostic report by Bank of Namibia, especially in collaboration with the Ministry of Finance and also other development partners, especially when officials have realized to say it is quite important to make sure that when it comes to informal sector, should not only be for the sake of speaking, but there is a need for practical implementation of policies and programs that uplift informal economy, especially those businesses who are operating in an informal sector. How should you register them? How should you protect them? How should you also make sure that they are operating at the zones, or at the zones which are safe, their product are secured, and they are sustainable, particularly when it comes to facing of challenges? Because what you need to know is that when it is stated that hundreds and thousands of SMEs disappeared from the from the zone of operation, especially after COVID-19, how should we make sure that if a vendor or if a street vendor is not feeling well that day, her business is secured, there is a security in that aspect. How do you make sure that if that meme who is selling fat cakes and who is selling kapana in the corner of Havana, when one day that person is not feeling well, when that one day by issues of life, that person involved in a car accident, who will take care of his business? What are the investments which are there? And how we can make sure that those who are operating in the informal sector, particularly in the informal market, are protected and they have a guarantee to make sure that their business's security is secured, because it's one thing to speak and it's also one thing to act. It's one thing to analyze the situation, and it's also one thing to change the situation. Because when you look, for example, it's not when you speak about informal sector, we don't only speak about Havana, Kanja Park, in Vendo. We speak about all the informal sectors in Namibia. Either it's Katima, either it's Rundu, either it's Swakop, either it's Swavis Bay, and how can we make sure that we protect the informal economy and the informal sector in general? Because what is very interesting is that when you come to a town and you find yourself in an informal sector, everything becomes informal. The housing is informal. The business operation is black market. And people also view you as informal. I remember one of the journalists at Bank of Namibia said, "Hey, you know, you want to build one economy because you realize that you have failed in a former economy. And what was supposed to upgrade the informal economy was supposed to be development bank, but it seems like it's a bank of the developed." It was an argument which was presented there. These are not my words. But one thing that we need to look at is that if we speak about how we should elevate the informal economy or the informal sector in general, where should we start? Where should we start? Are we starting with village councils? Are we starting with the services? Are we starting with the resources available? Are we starting with governance?
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnementplan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Are we starting with governance? Let us look at two key things. You cannot move anywhere without effective governance. You cannot transform a village council to a town council to a city to a competitive trade hub. You can't do that if you don't have effective governance. So if we want to transform the informal sector, do we have an effective governance? Do we have leaders who have sympathy? Or do we have leaders who can go on the ground and assess instead of responding during the time of political scoring of points? All of them. What is the context of governance in Namibian local authorities? What is the well-run local authority in Namibia? It's up to you to judge. What is the relationship between political leaders within the local authority and also the administrators of the city, of the town, of the village council? And also, what is the relationship with senior politicians, and who is suffering from that? You know, I was looking at the approach, for example, of our Minister of Urban, which is quite very good for accountability and make sure that everything is in check. But there are views and perception that people think that it could have done differently. It could have done differently because, for example, punishing the leadership by removing certain amount of money because they are not presenting their reports and proposal on time does not solve any problem. The political battles of politicians will not solve the problems of Namibians. The political battles or the battles of elites will not solve any problem in Namibian context. That's why when we speak about the informal sector, we should make sure that we don't only speak, but we act, particularly those who have finance, those who have finance, those who have capacity, and also those who are willing to develop the informal sector. How many studies were done? We are not speaking about a study just being done for the sake of report. We are not speaking about an honors degree, research project just to get those 50 pages papers so that you can pass. We speak about real studies. How many developmental studies are done in the Namibian informal sector? And what need to be done to make sure that that problem is solved? Because in most cases, what you see is that every day, every time, because of the pressure of the economy, people move to cities and towns in Namibia. People move to cities and towns in Namibia, and there has been always the aspect of there has always been an aspect of, conflict between the leadership of village council, town councils, and the people building illegal infrastructure. But the question that you need to ask yourself is that, is that town that you are into in Namibia, is that village council that you are into able to accommodate the growth of people moving to it every year, annually? Do you know how many people are going to be in Windhoek in 2050? If you are using prediction and statistics, I want to give you a homework. We are already 500,000 and we are growing annually above 3.2%. Do your calculation. What is 3.2% of, 500,000? Then you understand that is how many, at average, how many people are moving to Windhoek every year. How many people got equal service from the city, for example? That is up to you to answer. How are we going to develop if we don't have a game plan? And the context of how we are going to uplift our informal economy should also go beyond the aspect of governance, the issue of energy and critical resources. Energy and critical resources. You know, when, for example, Dangote want to do something, a businessman from Nigeria, richest man in Africa, want to do something, he go on the ground and start doing it. He came to Namibia this year, and yesterday, we are already surprised by a decision that he is making in Zimbabwe. Because he has a strategy. He has a strategy to make sure that they come first to Namibia, because Namibia is a trade hub in terms of a seaport. By the time we think he's operating from Zambia, connecting 2,000 kilometer pipeline, and that is a man of action. And those are the industries which are going to be built. But the question should always remain to say, What really is a problem? Because I have traveled around, especially in Namibia, and I have seen that when somebody start making it in life, instead of advancing the place where they are, they move in different steps within the structure, the stratification, societal arrangement of the town that they live in. Yeah, mid-sub, suburb, upper suburb, town. And what is very interesting is that Namibians are also not people who forget very easily. When you attend graduation, PhD graduation, MBA, all the qualifications, when they are graduating, when they are writing their books, there is always this aspect of saying, I grew up in the dusty street of Katutura. I grew up in the dusty street of DRC. I grew up in the dusty street of, Twaroroka or Otwea. You know, there is only this aspect to say I grew up in that dusty street. But when you analyze that word, it's not really to say a person is very proud. A person is saying a person endure resilience, endure criminal activities, endure difficult challenges such as poverty. Such as fighting with, authority when it's coming to placing of illegal structures. But it's a symbol of resilience to say you grew up in the dusty street of something, but what are you doing about it? It's not a badge that you should wear, because there is nobody who should glorify poverty. We can't be happy because this is not a country that everybody aimed for. You cannot be happy. Yes, it's a story of resilience, but what are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? Are we supporting the local people who are holding the economy of Namibia? Because, you know, what is very interesting is that you can go to any open market and look at these people and you think they are not doing anything. Yes, they pay tax indirectly. When they are going to buy things in the shops and when they are going to travel outside the country to go and look for some materials, when they are keeping, they are the one who are keeping financial, Namibian finance circulating. They are the one who are employing majority of the people, especially the informal economy. Do you know that informal economy employ more people than mines put together? Than government jobs put together, than private sector jobs put together, is an informal market in Namibia that employ Namibian people. That is almost 60% of the workforce is coming from the informal sector. When you look at a meme who is selling Kapana by the road, Icebox, you must salute her, because she's the reason that you are driving that car. She's the reason that there are money in the ATM. Because if we are not protecting the informal economy, if we are not protecting those who are selling in the street, then we are not going to go anywhere. Because the standard of development should be recognized those who partake in economic affairs of the country. And also to give them capacity, to give them training, and support them to grow. And also not only for the sake of speaking. Sometimes when you meet people and you speak with them, and you have data, it's like somebody speaking to you and telling you to say, I'm going to build houses here, these structures here. Just elect me for the next 5 years. Then you ask this person to say, what evidence do you have that you can do it? Do you understand the process of housing? Do you understand the process of planning, budgeting, implementing, evaluating? And do you understand the cost involved? Do you have influence? Do you have capacity to read and attract developmental partners? Because we must be real with ourselves if you want to develop this country. and politicizing poverty should be something that should end. And it's not that something that the president wants. And she's one of the most genuine presidents which I've seen. Because the president does not want politicizing poverty. She wants Namibians to be improved. If you see people using poverty as a political capital to get the political points, that is against national developmental priorities, because in terms of national developmental priorities, to make sure that all Namibians must come forward and identify what is that need to be done. Is effectiveness, is effective governance what is needed? Do you have characters and qualities of effective governance? Now, because if you see somebody politicizing poverty, people should not be kept poor so that the next year you will come and sell them dream again. It's not correct. That is not the Namibia that you want. Those who have power, those who are aspiring politicians, must be able to make sure that they do what is right. Because especially when you speak about, you know, the growing of informal sector is a complication of things. I'm seeing, you know, when you look, for example, in South Africa, it's not 50 people dying every day in South Africa due to gun wood. It's not 50. It's not even 100 people in a day. Go and read the statistics and see how poverty, how informality made life so difficult. How many young South African police officers are lost on the front line? And it's not something which is very far. And how strong are criminal activities thriving in informal economy, in poverty, in inequality sector? Because if you don't address this issue, it's not only coming for the poor people, it's coming for everybody. That's why the conversation today is how do we make sure that we practically, you know, upgrade the informal sector. How should are we losing the battle of proper housing in Namibia? We need to ask those questions to say, are we losing that battle? Because if you look at the number of people that we have, I also want, everybody want a proper house. Everybody want a secure house. Everybody want to be safe. But when we speak about these things, we must be very clear to say, in terms of the battle against inequality, are we losing that battle in any town that you are into? What is your game plan? What is your town strategic plan saying about formalizing the informal economy? Is your town strategic plan in line with what the government want? Is what the government want fundable from where? By who? At what time? What is the period of the time that is needed? So that is a conversation that we need to look into. Yeah, we are continuing with business and economic segment. Today, as we indicated, the Friday of the 14th of November 2025, we are looking at what are the new things that we need to do, especially not glorifying poverty and also not glorifying suffering, especially what we need to do to make sure that we upgrade our informal sector, to make sure that we don't only support informal businesses, to support them, to formalize them. We also make sure that in terms of the structure, in terms of the environment, in terms of the protection of the citizens there, particularly when it's coming to human security, those are the things that we need to make sure that we find a way. How is the aspect of community policing within you know, the informal sector? How are the assistance, particularly when it comes to you know, medical attention? Do you know that in any point in time, when somebody got sick, for example, deep down the informal sector, what they call the dusty street, the Kramadura, in most cases it's quite very difficult even for an ambulance to reach that person. Imagine if that person at that area, deep down the informal sector, it's not possible for police response to respond on time. That's why most of the violence, most of the GBV cases, most of the rape cases, drugs and many other illegal activities are happening in the informal sector, because it's also a paradise for criminals. Because which police can go into that dangerous zone? Do they know the geographical area? So that's why today the conversation must be elevated. The conversation must be beyond the politics of the 26th of November 2025. I find it very difficult when people change their words when you elect them to power. I do not have an opposing view to anybody who is interested or who is a candidate to be elected, either to local authority or regional authority. The problem with I have is that is a contradictory in terms of what is being spoken about, because when you start writing history, most of the people who go down in history for speaking good and doing absolutely nothing, even when they were given power to make sure that they change the lives of those who trusted them. Because the very dangerous thing about life is that you can escape, but you will not escape forever. You can promise people a development, but if you continue doing so, time will catch up with you. Because when history of losers is going to be recorded, you will be one of the topest losers. But what can we do? Especially those who grew up, who were raised by the informal sector. Because in most cases, when you are coming to a city and you do not have any family member who is at the upper town, or you do not, that is where people start. But why a lot of people, they left the informal sector? Why can't they help in upgrading the informal sector? Some of these people, they study even urban development study. They study, these things. Some of these people, they study engineering. Why can't they advise in advancing of those, cities and towns in Namibia? I've seen at the page of Sito Windhoek today, they gave around 50 houses there, which is not really to say you are pricing a bed for frying or a fish for swimming. But what you need to look at is also that, yes, it's progress, but at what rate? Because there's a difference between somebody who is moving and somebody who is moving at an understandable rate. Let me say you are supplying uniform to a school of 900 learners, and you happen to give around 100 uniforms within a year. Yes, you are giving, but are you catching up? Are you catching up with that pace? Because what is necessary is also the measure. Because when you speak about monitoring and evaluation, when you speak about proper planning, it also includes time frame. To say if my operation is grow with 3.6% every year, and the statistic is saying this is a number of young people that I have, this is a number of graduates who maybe will become young professionals that may need a place to stay, and they need to start a family. This is the number of houses which I should build at this rate. But you know what is very interesting? What is very interesting is that apart from governance, there is an issue that not really people look into, particularly the cost of living, which is caused by the cost of doing business, which is rooted by the cost of energy. As a queen of all services, if energy sector is not sorted, if those who are in charge of the Ministry of Mines, Industries, and Energy are not sorting out the issue of energy, institutions are going to collapse. Because who want to pay the continuation of high price of electricity? Who want to pay that? And when are we going to act to make sure that our cities are powered? Because remember, when industries are going to be built, industries are also going to consume this energy. Because we understand that Ariko Dangote is coming. And he's a project man. And we have to see what energy is going to be used in construction of that pipe. It's not an ordinary pipe that you put on the table. It requires construction, logistics, requires technical experts. But the conversation of saying, when it comes to Namibian challenges, the world is not going to wait for us to put our house in order. We need to make sure that we develop our cities, we develop our towns, and we do not run away from the problem. And we should not be ashamed of upgrading our towns and cities. It should not just be a story when you are writing a book, when you are writing your thesis, when you are writing your dissertation to say, no, I grew up in the dusty street of Katutura. You know, it becomes a cliche now when somebody start or become successful, which is quite a very good thing, and start saying, you know, we grew up in the dusty street of Katutura. We grew up in the dusty street of Twaroloka, in the dusty street of wherever you find yourself, the dusty street of Enana. Informal sector, but we managed to make it. Our dinner was, a fat cake and the head of a fish and all these things. Yes, it's a very good thing, but what did you do about it? Because you'll be shocked that, corporate chiefs, industrial leaders, most of these people, CEOs, most of these people were raised in the dusty street that everybody is describing, but what are they doing about it? Particularly those who are in charge of that. Especially those who are in leadership of cities, those who are in politics. Ask yourself this, show me 30 houses that were built by your councillors, or 100 houses that were built on a directive of your governor, wherever you are finding yourself. Show them to me. If you can show them to me, then it's a good thing. How can you build from that project? What is the reason of the challenge of housing in Namibia? What is the reason? What caused the high price of cost? I mean, the high price of energy. Yeah, because especially this Friday, we need to make sure that the discussion, when you go out there, the discussion should always be bread and butter. Yes, we must talk about entertainment. Entertainment is for temporary life fulfillment at that point in time because we are human beings. But things that change our life is when we discuss about real issues to say, if I want to solve the problem of energy, I don't only need to speak, but I need to speak to the right person. If I want to solve the energy of infrastructure, I don't only need to shout with a politician online or at the rally. We don't only need to meet when you are dancing at the rally. We need to sit every day and to say, Chief, yes, now we put you in power. We want to take to put you back again, but let's come and sit on the table. Give me your report of what you have done. Let me evaluate you. Out of 10, how much have you achieved? What were some of the challenges? Oh, okay, there's somebody to blame. You want to tell me that you failed 80% and you are blaming everybody. What can you do better? Because most of our politicians, especially those who did not perform, they hide behind policies. They blame processes. They speak about discussions. Instead of projects, they speak about, no, because of the policy, we have tried to look at this. But what did you do apart from the policy? What did you do? How can you entrust you with people's power? Because, you know, when you sit in front of data, when you look at inflation, when you look at the economic outlook, when you look at the cost of electricity, the cost of infrastructure, when you look at the growth of the population, when you compare with other countries, when you look at money which is coming into the country, money which is leaving the country, then also look at the money which is leaving the country unrecorded. then you'll be able to realize that we have a very big problem that we need to deal with. When you look at the ranking, if states in the world were in a class, where is Namibia going to be? Which subjects are going to pass well? Yes, we're going to pass the subject of peace and stability. Which subject are you going to pass again? Maybe you're going to pass the subject of gender equality. That one we are doing very well. But are we going to pass the subject of equality in general as Namibians? Are we going to pass the subject that has to do with proper and decent housing? Are we going to pass the subject of effective governance? Are we going to pass the subject of sound, internationally effective financial system? Are we going to pass the subject as a country? Imagine we're in class. When it comes to the test of income inequality, we are the second last in the world in terms of ranking. We are the second last. If it comes to failure in terms of income inequality, we are not doing very well. Even DRC and Angola and many other countries, and Gabon, they are in front of us. Is Namibia, our country, when it's come to income inequality, it's quite embarrassing. We are the second highest economic unequal country in the world. Even in 2025, this November we are speaking. What have we done about it? Those are the contexts that we need to look at. When you look, for example, at issues of financial system, when it comes to anti-money laundering, when it comes to terrorism financing, we are still struggling with that. We are grey listed, although we have improved, we are grey listed. We are still at the punishment corner if we were in a class at the global level. When it's come to happiness level, we are, as a country, an unhappy, student in the class of global states. Unhappy students.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
When you are personifying it and you are valuing it, maybe we'll be able to see it and we'll see what we need to do. When it comes to issues of mental health, we are not stable. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Good evening, wherever you are. But they are greeting you from your number one talk radio. There are qualities that we have, such as wealth that we cannot see, such as richness that we cannot touch, such as, beautiful resources that we cannot benefit from, although there are some who are benefiting. And there are still qualities that we can see, that people are still seeing our potential, but we are not seeing it as a country. People are still investing us that we are not seeing, as a country. When it's come to the quality of education, how are you going to rate us as Namibia? Is our education of high quality? Do we have quality education that can help us to solve problems? Or we have a theoretical education that will equip us to be good writers, but never manage any projects? That will equip us, to be good teachers, good professors. But it will not give us an opportunity for freedom of thinking and solve critical issues. What is the contribution of quality of education in terms of urban planning, what they call it, town planning, rural and urban, development, property studies. What is the contribution of those courses? Those who study land, what is their contribution to fighting of or to improve informal sector? Those who study business, administration, management, entrepreneurship, youth and community development, what is the quality in the context of that education when it comes to solving the issue of informal sector? Those who study criminal justice, for example, what is the content in the context of their education and qualification in assisting or fighting, preventing criminal activities within the informal sector? Because the moment we start understanding that, that is the only moment that we'll be able to realize that the solution to our Namibian problems, the solution to our cities of two faces and towns of two faces, is within our heads. And we can only do that when we don't only elevate the conversation, but we go where conversations are being made, where decisions are being made.